John Jessop.
Henry Preachman, hello there.
Hiya, John. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Enjoying the weather?
Yeah, keeping cool in this heat. Yes, I went for a swim yesterday, and I might do the same today.
Well, an open water one?
An open water one, yeah.
Are you in a diving suit? Or
yes, I wore a wetsuit yesterday because I'm a bit of a I'm a bit nesh.
Okay. Well, you got to watch the jellyfish, Henry, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, true. Yes.
Blimey! But never mind. So life's pretty good, eh, mate?
Life's good. Yes, we did our first gig. Les and I did our first gig on Saturday night, a house gig. It was outside, so it felt very safe, and the audience were just fantastic. It was only about 30 people. It was a private house gig that we'd been booked in since last year, or probably the year before, I think. And it was great that it could go ahead, because always there was a bit of doubt if the weather had been awful or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
sure what they'd have done. But it was magic. Me and Les hadn't played together since since February 2020. That was the last time we did a gig. And
but you've done your Zooms, though, haven't you, Henry?
We've done Zooms, yeah. But on Zooms, you're not actually playing together, although, as you know, because I think you've been to a couple of...
Yes,
them,
yeah, just, yeah.
On the Zooms, we do try, because there's a slight delay, we try and we do a few songs where Les does a verse, I do a chorus, or vice versa. And then, of course, we get the audience to join in at the end on a very loud, raucous chorus. And it's just cacophony, because obviously it's all out. It sounds like a bad football crowd. It sounds wonderful.
I know, but blimey, it's, you know, let's hope strength to strength now, because we want you in here before Christmas, mate.
Yes, definitely. Well, I've agreed I'll come in. Me and Les, what we'll do, we're going to do, we'll do a bit of rehearsing actually face-to-face, because we only rehearsed for this gig the other day on Zoom, and then we mess up in the afternoon and literally just went, yeah, what key, because it's remembering what key you do them in and things like that, and I've changed a few because I've been learning a different tuning on my guitar without getting too muso about it.
But, okay.
So we were... It was. I was going to be halfway through. What key do we do? Ideal World. You know, a song that was written 36 years ago, or whenever.
Wow.
What key do we do this in, Les? You know. But we. It was brilliant. It was fantastic.
So, are you trying to tell me, Henry, that you bought a new guitar?
No, I've not actually.
Oh.
No. And if I did, it would be one in, one out. That's the agreement now with her ladyship.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Head and indoors.
Yeah. You know, I nearly bid on one yesterday on eBay, but I didn't. And I'm trying not to. Now, I've been very good. I haven't bought a guitar for years.
Right. Yeah. Because, you know.
No, it's a new tuning. It tunes it. So it makes me sound half decent, John.
Stop it. Yeah. There, Steve Dinwoody is listening and he sends his regards.
Ah, Steve. Well, that goes right back to Christian's era, because he did the promotion on those early albums, and then what was lovely is, like, you know, 30 years later he did the promotion on, I think it was my first solo album, Chronicles of Modern Life, he did. Yeah,
well, whenever I play anything these days, I always get a text off him saying I work with them. I did. You know,
I bet you do.
Yeah,
you know, he was in Marseille, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yes,
the lad, the millionaire artist, what's he called, Buchanan?
Yeah,
Heart attack.
Yes, that's right. I can't think of his first name. His second name was Buchanan.
Yeah, somebody will text in. And
Steve will be on the text machine as we speak, mate. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no. Yeah, he keeps on threatening to me, Steve, that he's got a version of Simon Dupree's Kites.
Oh right.
And Marseille used to do it. And I'm still waiting, because whenever I talk to him, he says, John, I'm sorry, I've got a tennis match.
But who would do the Hayoishe?
I know.
There's a Japanese in the middle of that one.
That's right, there was, yeah.
Age.
Yeah, no, there was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, he said he was playing, I forget the track I was doing, but he said, oh no, I was involved in that. But he's back involved with the firm of solicitors now, isn't he? Balsamo, Collins and Riley.
Oh, I heard the new track. It's great. You've been playing it a bit, haven't you, John?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, couldn't happen to... I don't know Collins. What's his first
name? Is it Andy Collins?
It's Andy, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know Andy.
Well,
he
used to be in a band called The Stories.
Yeah, that's right, with Steve. I've known Steve... I mean, I've written with Steve loads of times. He's been over here to my studio and, for about... About 20 years, blimey, yeah. That's frightening. And obviously, Pete McReilly and me. So it's just great. Two amazing voices with Pete and Steve there.
Yeah.
And the whole thing sounds fantastic.
Well, there we go, Henry. Neil Buchanan.
That's it.
Yeah.
Did that come out of the ethos?
No, that came out of the ethos of Steed and Woody.
All right, thank you, Steve.
And he said, I was playing the River City People, California Dreaming, and he texted me and saying, oh, I worked with them on the ITV Cannon and Ball show, Rock on Tommy.
Well, we recorded a lot of the Christians' later demos in Tim Speed and Paul Speed's studio. Yeah, well, they were in the River City People. Yeah, lovely people.
Yeah, yeah. But so funny.
Enough of this local tittle tattle.
I know.
We don't want to drive people away with her. We're like, who else do they know?
I know. My goodness me. Yeah. So you and Les are getting ready to come in before Christmas. That's brilliant news. That is superb. Yeah. And you listen. I spoke to you the other day because I said were you listening to Les and gratefully you were, and I hope he's listening now. If not, well, we'll send the boys round. You know.
Yeah, he is. He says.
All right. Okay. And you said, I'm going to write you a song, and you've done it.
No, I didn't say I'm going to write. I'm going to say I'm going to record you a song. It's a very recent song. It's only a few weeks old, or a month or so, written with a chap from, a young singer-songwriter from Ireland called Dara Cullen. And his dad's a DJ, like yourself, John, and he just said, my son's been working with Boo Hewardy. Now, Boo's written with the girl from Fairground Attraction.
Eddie Reader. Yeah.
And loads of other people. He's a gun for hire, is Boo. And Boo is working with Dara on his album. And I think I've worked with Boo a couple of times. And Dara's dad said, would you fancy writing with my son? I went, go on then. So we did it on Zoom. I listened to his stuff. You know, I don't just say, yes, I'll write with anyone. I listened to his stuff. I thought, he's really good, this chap. And you know what? Considering it was on Zoom, what we did, he sent me some ideas, and there's a verse, and it was just beautiful. It was about, I asked him what it was about, and he said it's about a teacher of his that he had when he was at primary school who really inspired him. And sadly, I think he died of COVID, but he died early this year. And it was really sad. It's a really touching song, but it's a song of hope. It's a song of, you know, how people can inspire you and basically make your life, it takes a different turning. And I was able to relate to it because there are people that inspired me, like my art teacher, who made me do art. If I hadn't done art, I wouldn't have gone to art college. I wouldn't have formed Yachts. And there are people like, I'm thinking like Roger Eagle at Eric's and Peter Fulwell, who was at Eric's and managed me throughout the whole of the time for the Christians. Sadly, no longer here. But these people all made a difference to my life. And, you know, I wouldn't be here but for a lot of these people. So I was able to really relate to it. And he had this verse, and I said, I think I've got a chorus that might work. And we put the two together and then met up on Zoom. And I've done it a couple of times on Zoom gigs that we've done, and people have just loved it.
It's very, very moving, a real moving track, isn't it?
Well, we did, one of the Zoom gigs, somebody was crying when we did it.
Yes.
Because I think it does, especially if, you know, we've all been through that, and it's the sort of people you're losing, the people who set you on the right direction, you know, in the right direction. But and the fact that we did it on Zoom is just fantastic. Well, I've started to do, we do a Tuesday club, me, John Beck, who wrote Sleeping Satellites, you remember that?
Yeah,
records on. Me and John and another lad, Adam Dennis. So John's in Leeds, Adam's in London, and I'm in Anglesey.
Yeah.
And we're all from Yorkshire originally, so we call ourselves the Daft Apiths. And we meet up on a Tuesday online and just say, right, who's looking for songs? And it's amazing. It does work. I mean, I don't know whether it will work with total strangers, although I've never met Dara before, so maybe you know, this. But definitely, if you know the people, you know, it just works really well.
Yeah, I mean, there's all different sorts of ways and means that out there now, isn't there, Henry, that, you know, you've had to come and find.
Exactly, that we just, you know, this, you have to, you make the new normal, basically. I mean, that's how Pete Reilly and Steve and Andy have been doing. They meet up, I think they call it a Monday Club or something like that, and that's how they came up with their album, is just writing us, you know, coming up with all these songs. It's like, what should we do with it? Let's turn it into an album.
Mm. Yeah, well, of course, Steve Dinney's bringing them into the studio very soon.
Oh, right. When are they in?
I don't know. He's got to sort it out with them, obviously. He's taking them there, like he used to do many years ago. He's going to do a radio tour with them.
Oh, radio. Oh, the last time I did a radio tour, I did it with my wife. And we didn't have a sat-nav. And It was nearly divorce proceedings.
Okay. Right, okay.
At the end of the day, we did, I'm trying to think, we did Stoke, then Birmingham, then on down to Bristol, and then to Cardiff, all in the same day, and it was just, it was madness.
Well, say the least,
because
mate.
The chap who was meant to be driving us couldn't do it, and so I said, oh, we'll be fine, I'll do it with my wife. It was murder.
Oh, my God, anyway, yeah.
I'll give a shout-out to her, she's broken her wrist.
Oh.
And she's had a nightmare about 3 weeks or whatever, and she's on the mend now. But it's been tough because I've had to do the cooking. It's not been that's not pleasant for anyone.
No. That's
as you can imagine.
Yeah. That's purgatory. Yes, but never mind, mate. Well, I hope she's on the mend, and I hope she's going to have a real full recovery, mate.
Oh, she will.
Yeah. Okay. Before we disappear, mate, you know, I'm always intrigued by your music, and you said to me, you know, ask me anything, and so, you know, inside leg measurement, but we won't go into that. Ideal World and the Forgotten Town, right? What were the scenarios behind those two songs, Henry?
Right, Ideal World, initially, and that was written with my best mate, Mark Herman, who wrote and directed Brastoff. He'd go on to write and direct Brastoff, and he did Boy in the Striped Pyjamas and Little Voice.
Brastoff was great, wasn't he?
He'd become a very successful director. And yeah. I've known Mark, we were at school together when we were seven, and he helped me on some of those. Hooverville, he co-wrote the lyrics with me. Sad songs, all off the First Christians album.
Yes.
And Ideal World was initially called The Game of Love. In the game of love, we'd be free to choose. And then it's just, we thought, no, you know what? We should be singing about something, not just a love song. So I was sort of tweaking the words, and that's how that came up. And it was basically about the situation, the apartheid situation in South Africa at the time.
Right. It wasn't a change of title because there was already a Game of Love out there.
No, you're going to now be a sort of a pop nerd, and should I know it? Game of who did the Game of Love?
I'm not telling you. Yeah, I thought you'd know that.
I probably will, but I'm on the phone. You know, you go to piece. It's like if this was pop quizmaster, popmaster.
It's Game
you
of
go
Love.
To pieces,
love.
I've got to pieces. Game of Love.
Game of Love.
Hang on, I do know it.
Game of Love. 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 La 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 la. Love. The Game of Love.
Oh yeah.
Go on.
Yes. What? One of those, did Shawadi Wadi do a cover of it?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Well, at least I got myself out of jail. They obviously didn't do the original, I imagine.
Yeah, okay, that's fine, mate. and of course, later on in life, The Game of Love was done by Santana.
Ah, right. Well, I didn't know that, you see. You know your stuff. You'd be great on my pop quiz team. Although I'm not too bad. I think we do the same era. It's when it gets into the 90s and, 2000. I'm absolutely useless now, Plus the brain's going. I'm a pensioner now, John, so I want some respect off you.
So that was the Ideal World. So it was going to be The Game of Love, but you changed it to The Ideal World. And what about Forgotten Town, Henry?
Actually, now, this is really strange. I've never realised this before. Forgotten Town initially had a different title. It was initially called One of the Troubles of Living in a Northern Town. And that's because there was the Dream Academy's...
Yes, Northern Life in a Northern Town. Yeah.
Just as I was sort of demoing it, they came out, and I was thinking, bother, is what I thought.
Yeah.
And then I just thought, right, well, what can I do? Because I wrote that one on my own. I just thought, okay, and I came up with Forgotten Town, and I'm thinking, that's a loads better title. So I do thank Dream Academy so much for doing that, because, Forgotten Town is sort of, it works all over the world, whether in Italy, the northern towns are the rich ones, you know what I mean? Or it just works so well, and it sang so well, that one.
Mm, yeah.
That was just basically about Thatcher's Britain.
Really?
And I think it's equally relevant in Boris's Britain.
We're on a Freedom Day today, mate. My last hour is every song that's got freedom in the title somewhere.
Oh, right. Oh, there's a Yachts one. Freedom is a Heady Wine. The B side of our first single. You should have dug that out.
I should have done, mate. The Game of Love, by the way, I'll put you out your misery. It was Wayne Fontaine and the Mindbenders.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I I can't remember it. I'm going to go, I'll Google, I mean, I'll YouTube it later.
Yeah, yeah, it was one of his first hits after, I think it was before and before Pamela, Pamela.
Pamela, Pamela, yeah. Greg Dillman wrote that, didn't he? Hey,
yes.
We're good, aren't we?
You were good, all right, yeah.
It's not a bit boring for the people listening in.
And finally, yeah, it's got nothing at all to do with carpet sweepers, but Hooverville.
Hooverville, that was my wife, again, that was another one I wrote with Mark. My wife read this thing in the Daily Mirror about Hoovervilles, these shanty towns that grew up around Washington, the White House, and or out at the outskirts of Washington.
Right.
And they were just like, shanty towns that were there. And people think it's named after G-Man Hoover, but it's not. It's named after Herbert Hoover, the president. And then what was quite weird is, like, 25 years later, David Tennant, there's a famous Doctor Who episode which is set in Hooverville, in a Hooverville, basically, in one of these sandwiches. I was thinking, all right, I wonder if they'll play the track. They didn't, obs.
No. I mean that's great. That those three. I was inquisitive of the Ideal World. I was, Forgotten Town, and Hooverville. Greenbank Drive just speaks for itself, doesn't it?
It does. Yes.
Because that's a fabulous road, isn't it?
Well, that is, and then based on a true thing, like that was the night that me and my wife were still together. That's when she became my girlfriend that day, basically. And I remember walking back, sort of slightly drunken from the party, and thinking, "Oh, I'm in love with her." So I wrote that song.
Brilliant.
I think they still do it live. It was always a great one for the Christians to do. We always used to finish the set with it. I don't know whether I haven't seen them for ages, because, well, none of us have seen any of bands for ages, but
no.
They're back on tour. I think they're back out. I saw something on Gary's Facebook that they're back out on tour, I think, in August, I think.
Oh,
so
well.
Hope it goes well.
All right, my old friend. Well, look, it's great. Thanks for your time, as always. Henry, enjoy your life, and as always, we'll see you before Christmas.
See you soon, John. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye, Henry. Bye-bye.
The music you know, the city you love. This is Liverpool Live.